God's fool. Daniel stood at the corner of the alley, ostensibly reading his map, but really deciding whether he would do what he had come to do. People he trusted and respected had told him it was mad. He could still turn back and go to his home 10,000 miles away in safe America. But could he face God if he did? 20 steps away was the brothel. There were 8 children there. All were sex slaves. The local police had been bribed into inaction. All appeals to higher authorities had failed. His method seemed the only way to free even 1 child. His hands shook as he held the map. He could not have read it if he had wanted to in the failing light. "Father God," he prayed, "you have told us to look after the orphans and protect the helpless. I have set out to do that. But some of your people say I am arrogant and presumptuous, going beyond your will and plan. Are they right? Or have you sent me on this mad endeavor? Please show me. Don't send me forward unless you go with me." He crumpled the useless map and walked into the brothel. He hired one of the boy prostitutes for the night. The pimp led him up rickety stairs to an empty room with a bed and left him there. When the boy came in, Daniel thought for a moment that there had been a mistake and it was a girl. Something about the bone structure of the face told him he was wrong, but the hair and dress were perfectly feminine. The child, perhaps 8 years old, bowed to him and began to undress. Fascinated horror gripped him. Here was an enemy he had not expected tonight. Lust. "But I'm not a pedophile. I'm not even homosexual," his mind protested. Then he saw that in the depths of temptation, such distinctions blur. In the end, there is no heterosexual or homosexual. There is only the act to which one is tempted, God's command against it, and the struggle to obey God. Horrible minutes passed in this struggle. Then all at once his lust was swept away by the lovely power of God. The victory had been won for him. His mind cleared. The naked boy was looking at him quizzically. Daniel considered what to do. He could tell the child his intent and try to escape with him tonight. He could try to buy him from the brothel's owner. No, he thought. One boy is not enough. God help me, I must try to save them all. Tomorrow. What shall I do tonight? I must not arouse suspicion, but I must try to learn how the children think. He knew the local language well. He prayed for words that would reach this boy's heart. "Put on your clothes again," he said. "I will not have sex with you now." "Please, sir, if you dislike me, he will beat me." "I do not dislike you, but I did not come for sex." "Yes, you have come," protested the boy. "I am," Daniel reached for the word, "different. No one like me has come to you before. Put on your clothes." The child obeyed. Daniel led him to the window and put his arm around him as they looked out through the grubby glass. The window could not be opened, and there was a 3-story drop into the alley. The taller building opposite loomed black against the glow of the smoggy night sky. "When did you come here?" asked Daniel. "I don't know." "Who were you with before?" "Mommy and other kids." "How did you leave?" "Mommy had sickness, and a man took me here." Daniel was silent, thinking. Sold by a landlord to pay a debt, perhaps. Oh God, that such things happen in this world. His hand around the child was trembling now. He no longer doubted that this mad endeavor was right. "Do you like this place?" he asked the child. The boy slid into a crumpled heap on the floor and sobbed. He quieted himself quickly. "Everything is bad here," he said. "But if I cry, he will beat me." Hours later, the boy was sleeping soundly on the bed, while Daniel stood wakeful at the window. Hot anger ran through his body like the hot blood in his veins. It kept him alert and awake, and he made his plans. Next evening, he arranged to hire all the child prostitutes at the same time. The pimp was surprised, but Daniel's money was good. He was given the same room as before. Soon he was surrounded by naked children offering themselves to his lust. But tonight, the God-given anger upheld him, and there was not even a struggle. He and the boy he had had before convinced the others to put on their clothes. Then, softly, in case the pimp was listening, he told them he meant to bring them away. No one but the boy was willing to come. Daniel's hands shook as he realized this. His plan was doomed. The slaves refused to be freed. But why wouldn't they refuse? They had been betrayed before. Why should they trust him now? "God help me," he prayed. Then he spoke to them all, no longer caring if the pimp heard. "I have a father who never sends his children away," he said. Instantly, he had all their attention. Two had fathers who had sold them. The others had none, as far as they knew. Daniel continued, "My father tells all his children, 'I will take good care of you and give you what you need forever. I will bring you to a place where everything is good.' And he always does what he has told them. He has sent me here to bring you out and take you where you will meet him and become his children too." "There is no father like that," said a boy. Daniel wept, not trying to hide his tears. The children were too hurt to believe in healing. A girl's face lit up with joy. "A liar does not cry," she said. "It is true." The children wavered. There was a cry outside the door and pounding fists. The pimp had overheard. Daniel leaped up and shoved the bed against the door. He took a steel wrench from his pocket and shattered the window. In a window of the opposite building, a figure appeared and threw him something. It was a small chair, tied to a rope, hanging from the fifth story of the other building. The panicked children were gathered about him, terrified of the pimp, ready to do anything to get away. One by one, he loaded them into the chair and swung them across to the waiting arms in the other building. The bed effectively jammed the door, but the door was breaking. Cracks appeared in it as Daniel swung the last child. He was looking at his wrench, wondering if he would have to fight for the children and his life, when the chair swung back for him, and he caught it. He swung across, scrambled through the far window, and fell into the crowd of frightened children. They were afraid of Daniel's friend, who wore a black veil, as well as of pursuit. Daniel comforted them. "I still think you are mad," said the gruff voice behind the veil in English. "Thanks so much for your help," said Daniel. He would have said more, but gunshots rang out from the brothel window and bullets crashed into the room. No one was hit. The veiled figure led Daniel and the children quickly through a maze of dark passages and stairways, out into an alley, back into another dark building, and out again to a waiting van. Daniel turned to thank his friend again, but he was gone. He hurried the children into the van, and then climbed into the driver's seat. On the steering wheel was a note that said simply, "Drive like a local. God be with you." Alternately praying and singing, Daniel drove through the huge, congested city, and out into jungle interspersed with patches of farmland. Good food for the journey had been left in the van for them, and Daniel stopped frequently so they could eat and rest. The sun rose, and the children looked at the countryside in wonder. Near sunset, they came to another city and stopped outside a big house. They walked through a gate into a beautiful courtyard where a gray-haired man with a gruff voice met them. He embraced Daniel. "Once I wanted to try this too," he said, "but I listened to advice. Well done." "This must be the good place," said a girl in the local language. "Is he the father?" "No," said Daniel, "but you will meet him here."